BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Do you have a chore around the house, Steven, that you hate? One thing that you absolutely kind of just hate to do. We all have things we don't like doing, but give me your thing that you dislike the most.
I absolutely despise making the kids' lunches for school.
Why?
I don't know.
What goes into that?
Nothing. Nothing goes into it. I just, because half the time it's like they don't even eat it. They don't appreciate it. They don't say anything back to you like, hey, thanks. Yeah. It's just, I feel like I'm just doing it for nothing. And now, you know, now the little one's going to school and he doesn't even eat a sandwich. It's like, what are we doing here?
You just feel like you're feeding your kids for nothing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just wasting food, wasting money, wasting time. It's just like, come on.
Where do you stand on breaking down cardboard boxes as a household chore?
I don't mind it because I worked at Costco, so I've dealt with boxes a lot. And like would, you know, break them. And I like to punch them. I like to break, like, I'll get my anger out that way. So I will. I don't mind breaking down a box. I think it's kind of fun.
I think I would describe my strategy in breaking down cardboard boxes more like I put the box on the ground. And I will just use my body weight. I crush it into nothing, then I fold it over, and then I step on it again. It's a little bit, it's Darwinian.
Then it makes me self-conscious about my body weight, but you know.
Whatever. Yeah, right. No, it's not for everyone, okay? I'm just saying. Our next guest, former Oregon State team captain, spent some time in the NFL, friend of this show. He joined us for a couple of years, courtesy of Jamba. I feel like this is old times. Jaden Grant, welcome back. Did you have a Jamba juice today?
Crazy thing is, I actually did. You know, I got a chance to go down. I got a chance to go down to Oregon State, and they actually had them for the guys, so I was able to get extra.
I love that. All right, so what was that like? What's it like to go back? And because I know you've been back for spring games and stuff, but what was it like to go back on a game week and see these guys?
Man, it was definitely different. You know, I was telling everybody, this is my first time kind of being even close to a game day in Corvallis when I'm not playing. So that was different for sure. And then obviously this week, you know, our opponent, what we got this week, that was a lot different too at this time of the year. But it was definitely good to be back, good around the guys and see them before the big day.
Did you get to talk to the team or see guys like, you know who's doing the Jamba thing now? It's Jaden Robinson, your old friend.
J-Rob, yeah. Yeah, I got to spend a lot of time with the guys. Got to watch practice, share some time with the coaches, just catching up, had some good conversations with Coach Bray. So it was just good to get back.
I see you as a coach someday and maybe even there. Is that something in your distant future you would entertain?
I mean, really, whatever, you know, wherever God moves me, whatever he leads me to, you know, I'll answer that call. So I don't want to put anything out the window or, you know, say I'm doing this. I'm really just taking things day by day. But I definitely wouldn't rule it out.
Let's go back to your Civil War memories. And what jumped out to mind, and it came up this week on the radio, is Jaden Robinson brought it up. He brought up that fourth down play where Bo Nix kept the ball. You smelled that all the way. Made the play, made the stop. He said you were calling that from the field as you guys were getting to the line of scrimmage. What do you remember about that play?
Yeah. So I remember that watching film that week, we knew going into the game that when it's four down territory or they go no huddle to fourth down, at the time we knew that we're going to get DNA runs if they're trying to no huddle and just get a quick play off, catch us off guard. We know that they're going to go to their go-to DNA runs. And I think we had cover four called that game. So, you know, I'm supposed to be 12, 15 yards back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, time and situation, late fourth quarter, you know, just from film study, I told the nickel in the corner, just, you know, play it like cover zero man if it is pass, because I'm supposed to have, you know, deeper security. And, you know, I just took my chances knowing that, you know, they're going to go to their DNA runs. He's done the zone read all game, but he hasn't kept it at all. You know, this would be a pretty perfect time. And, you know, I just went, instead of being 12, 15 yards down the field, I just lined up on the line of scrimmage and kind of was just waiting for him once he pulled. I don't even know if he had me in the count. So it was just kind of one of those plays, time and situation things, happened to be in the right place at the right time.
It's yeah, but it's not luck, right? Because you had scouted that, you had a feel for it. You know, it's not like you're standing on a street corner and you look down and there's a $20 bill. Like, it's just you knew instinctively that was coming. But also, you were in that program like a million years, and I have to think that like the coaches trusted you to freelance a little bit. Like, can you maybe speak to that? Like, the ability for you to go, okay, I know we're in cover four here, but guys, I'm doing my own thing here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that I was gonna, you know, point out. I think that was actually, I know Ryan Cooper was the nickel, and then I think it was either Jaden Robinson or Alex Austin, you know, that I was talking to at the time. And so for them to have that trust in me to be like, okay, cool, not like wig out or get crazy. Mm-hmm. That was, but another thing was my relationship, you know, with the staff, Smitty and, you know, Blue Adams and Coach Bray. At the time, you know, we'd all put in our time together. So there was a tremendous amount of trust, you know, on the field, in the locker room, you know, in the old building. So I think even if the play would have went different, I think they would have knew where I was coming from by right. doing that. But it definitely worked out, that play.
It takes time, though. I mean, you know, as a second or third year guy, you don't maybe make that play. And, you know, Bo Nix gets the first down. But as a guy who was a team captain who had been there a while, and I think it was Robinson, because he said earlier this week, he said, you know, Jaden called that. Like, Jaden yelled to me like he's going to, you know, he knew what was happening. So, you know, I think that's really important, that kind of experience. You know, it's not just being a half a step faster. It's like you're way ahead.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, one thing that Anthony Newman always tells me, you know, a future father-in-law, he always tells me, you know, your mind will take you there way faster, you know, than your body ever could. And that was definitely an example on that play. But that goes into, like, also, you know, trusting your coaching as well and trusting yourself, because, you know, they were the ones that brought that nugget to us. And, you know, it happened to click in my mind. So I kind of had an idea from, you know, our coaching points and my own film study what was going to happen. You know, everybody kind of just trusted it on that play, trusted my instincts, and turned out to be right.
Future father-in-law Anthony Newman, for people who don't know, Jaden got engaged. Congratulations. When was that? Was that like 3 or 4 months ago?
Yeah, that was in June. It was like a week after my birthday. It was June 22nd.
All right. How did you propose? Take us through the proposal.
So we kind of first met, or like met once we were older, around COVID time at Cannon Beach, in Cannon Beach, because my brother dates Dalen's best friend. So we kind of did a trip, just me, Dalen, my brother and his girlfriend, and then my friend Lamar Winston, because his daughter is me and Dalen's goddaughter. Okay. And so I kind of spun it like we were going there to take pictures and just spend a day at the beach and then take pictures with our goddaughter. And then after we finished taking pictures with our goddaughter, I was like, let's get some, just me and you. And then that's when, you know, got on the knee and popped a big question.
Was she surprised?
She was actually shocked, which was like a big thing for me, because, you know, I was doing everything to try to keep her off guard and make sure that she didn't know what was coming. And we had a big, you know, surprise engagement party later that night with about 80 of our friends and family. And so both things she was completely shocked by. Which was pretty surprised. I thought she would have at least a little bit of an idea, but she didn't.
That good job by you. Good, you know. And I know that, like, I can remember talking to your future father-in-law, I guess, when you guys first started dating, and he was like, "Hey, can you believe my daughter's dating an Oregon State player and Oregon player?" But he is, you know, he has turned that into, you know, a real father-in-law, son-in-law relationship where he's coaching you, giving you career advice, and. What was that conversation like, though, when you call him or you talk to him and you say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to ask your daughter to marry me"?
So I did it when I was back home, you know, after last season. I was back home for probably a couple weeks, and I made sure before I left, I knew I wanted to propose to her. So I wanted to get the blessing out of the way, you know, early. So I sat her mom and her dad down together and asked them, and they were just super supportive, super, you know, happy for us. And I mean, to be honest, at that point, we already kind of considered each other family, you know, anyway. So it's not like it's changed.
Jaden Grant is with us, former Oregon State team captain, standout. Your time in the NFL, and you know, even this last few weeks, I know it was disappointing when the Raiders start to make roster decisions. And you know, can you take us through kind of what that's like? Most people are never going to be in an NFL camp. They're never going to be with the team as you were. You were traveling with the team. Take us back, kind of the last couple of years for you with the Raiders.
I mean, coming in as an undrafted free agent, first of all, I was just blessed to have an opportunity. You know, somebody, a team that believed in me and wanted me to be a part of their organization. And, you know, I really have nothing but great things to say about the entire organization from top to bottom. You know, I know I really wanted to be there, did my best, put in the work to be there. But it's just kind of the nature of the business sometimes. And it's the downside of the business, but it's the reality. And so, it's tough, you know. Going through, you know, a whole year, then a whole off season, and working hard, and you know, trying to put your best foot forward, and not getting the results you want. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned there from, you know, what in my mind, not a, I don't want to say it was a failure, you know, to not make it, but to not really reach your goals. There's a lot of lessons and growth opportunities in that, which is the current phase I'm in now. So I know whoever gives me that opportunity next, it'll just make me that much better and that much more prepared for that moment.
I sent you a text when I saw the news because I was a little surprised by it because I thought, you know, it looked to me like it was trending positively for you. And I sent you a text and, you know, I told people when you left college, I said, do not bet against Jaden Grant. Like, this kid has found a way. He will find a way. I still believe you'll find a way. But what is that like when you don't know what's happening? You really have to lean on your faith and your family, and you know it's coming down to the wire, and you know, I can't imagine being in that position, how hard that is.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for me, you hit it right on the head. You know, my circumstances change, situations change, all these things change, but the one thing that is a constant for me is my faith and, you know, the love and promises of Jesus Christ that he has for me in my life. And so that's really what I've been leaning on. I've been trying to continue to do my part, you know, to stay in shape, to stay mentally ready. And obviously you're human, so it's hard. It does, the emotions do get to you, you know what I'm saying? It does get to your head a little bit. But ultimately just leaning back on my faith, knowing that, you know, God has a better plan for me and that, you know, he will open the doors that he wants to open for me. And it's all about me being able to answer the call when he gives me that opportunity, you know, whatever it looks like.
What do you do now? Do you continue to work out? You have an agent, obviously. You know, what's the plan, or how do you kind of attack this part of the season?
Yeah, so I try to keep as much of the same routine, you know, as I would if I was still in the building. So I try to get up, you know, get up early around 7 o'clock every single day and get my workout in early, you know, take care of my body, do all the things I need to do and stay on top of my nutrition. But the thing that's different is, like, you have so much time on your hands now. And so, you know, I've really been trying to focus on ways to really implement my time and make it, you know, make a purposeful use of my time. You know, not just sitting around and checking the boxes like, okay, I got my workouts done. I got my rehab done. I got everything I was supposed to do done. But now it's really more leaning into, like, trying to find the best use of my time, whether that's a service to somebody else, whether it's a service to my community, or whether that's just simply, you know, being a vessel of God, you know, to my family and friends like they have been for me.
Are you going to watch the game in Corvallis, or will you watch it on TV? How do you plan to take in the Civil War?
You know I got to be there, John. You know I got to be there.
Yes.
You know, with my all the ones, whatever fit I come up with, and definitely be there in person supporting them and rooting them on. I'm really looking forward to that.
Help me with this. Help me with this. Remember the USC game that you guys probably should have won, but you guys held them to, like, okay, you held them to 17 points, okay? You should win that game. And if, like, Caleb Williams was having problems with the sound in the stadium, they stopped motioning because they couldn't get the snap right, you know, the center couldn't hear the quarterback. Take us through that game plan for that game defensively, because I thought that was one of the most remarkable performances by a defensive backfield that I've seen.
Yeah. So that the game plan, you know, if I remember correctly, we obviously knew that it was, you know, Caleb Williams and the new USC Trojans with, you know, all the different guys you know, scattered from the nation, whether it was Oklahoma. I know they had some dudes from Colorado. Terrell Bynum, who I just was a teammate with this past camp, he came from UW. So they kind of had somewhat of a, I guess, a lot of proven guys from other places. And we knew they had a dynamic, you know, receiving core. We knew they had a dynamic quarterback, obviously, in Caleb Williams. And so for us, I think it was all about just accepting the challenge. That was the biggest thing, was the mindset that we had all week. You know, respecting all but fearing none. And I would say just between coaches and players, you know, specifically on the back end, Blue Adams, you know, Coach Perkins, Coach Bray, obviously, our game plan was really good, and I feel like we executed it really well. There's a tremendous amount of trust, you know, all throughout the week, leading through all the way through the game. But like you said, we just didn't get it, we didn't get it done. You know, there was one or two plays that I feel like I left out there. I'm sure some other guys could say the same. And, you know, that's just kind of how it goes in college football. It's tough to win, but nonetheless, you know, with a dynamic team like that.
What can crowd noise do to help a defense?
Man, crowd noise is great because, you know, offense is the one that has to do, you know, they're trying to dictate to us. We're trying to do the same thing to them. And crowd noise really helps because it just feels like, you know, when that third down comes on and they say third down and the chainsaw revs, it just feels like ain't no way I'm losing this snap. You know what I'm saying? From each man-to-man individual battle, you know, it's just like, I got to win this snap. The whole crowd is behind you. And granted, you never win them all. But it definitely helps, you know, it helps your confidence out there when you're on the field and the crowd is going crazy. And they're trusting and believing in you to make the play, so it's on you to deliver.
Jaden Grant, congratulations on the engagement. Keep us posted on what comes next for you. I will see you at the stadium tomorrow. I'll be sure to say hi to you. And thanks for giving us some of your time.
Yes, sir, of course. Thank you for having me, John, as always. Pleasure
All
talking
right.
to you.
Thank you, man. There he is, Jaden Grant. He got his jamba today. Love that conversation. He will always be a friend of this show. I love it when players at Oregon and Oregon State and Portland State who have been on the show numerous times continue to stay in touch. And, you know, I did. I sent him a text on August 30th when the Raiders announced their cuts, and there was a lot of speculation that Jaden would make the roster. He was going to make the team, and in the 11th hour, he did not. And, you know, I just told him, I still believe that that kid, he will not be stopped. So, and I think someday, too, there's just some guys that, you know, Jaden Grant, part of his story and part of his success has to do with grit, okay? Not the fastest guy. Not the best vertical. Only picked up football like as a high school junior or senior. He didn't have a lot of football DNA. He was a basketball player in high school. Son of Brian Grant, you know, he's going to go play basketball. And picked up football late. Walked on at Oregon State. Got hurt. Why? Because he ran through a gate or a fence and hurt his shoulder early in his career. Got a red shirt because of it. You know, he had all these setbacks, all these obstacles, and yet as a junior and then as a senior at Oregon State, you just could not keep him off the field. And people wondered, how can a guy that runs his 40 be on the field? Well, the advice Anthony Newman, his father-in-law-to-be, gave him about, you know, using his head and using his brain, nothing faster. That's how Jaden Grant did it. And by the time he was a senior, he was in on every play. But you know, I saw that guy grow up, and you saw that guy grow up. Will any of us be surprised when Jaden Grant ends up coaching in, you know, at Oregon State or one of the high school programs in the state or in the NFL? He's got coach written all over him. He's just too smart, understands and sees the game, has lived it. He's got that grit and resilience. It's really cool to see some of the, I'm going to call him a kid, and you know, he's like 25, 26 years old now, but some of the kids who come through these programs who continue to stay around. And I had, you know, much the same feeling about, you know, Thomas Tyner, who went to Oregon and then to Oregon State, watched him grow up. Like, you know, you've been here. I've been here. We've watched this stuff. So love hearing from him and getting his perspective. All right. Punch It Audio's coming up. Nick Aliotti in the 5 o'clock hour. Anna is doing the 5 at 5 today. She said enough of this Steven stuff. She must have heard it yesterday. She said enough of this, you know, auditioning stuff. You know, Anna's coming. We got the A team today. Sorry, Stephen. We got the Anna's
no
coming.
No offense taken.
And we'll do the 5 at 5. Leave it here.